I'm at the lake and it's really windy. It's almost burning my skin and I can hardly move my mouth because it's so cold. I lost my hat and I'm stuck with this hood that doesn't help much. And I can hear the roar of the water behind me and seagulls. They almost sound like they're laughing at me because I'm really cold and they're just kind of in the wind letting it carry them. It was me, I'm just kind of fighting it. But I remember when it was warm.
The air was hot, and the breeze didn't bring much of a relief to my sweaty skin. I wanted so bad to get in that water. Everything about it was tempting. Its look, its feel, and especially its sound. I loved the way it roared gently as it played its constant game of running onto the sand, only to return back. I turned away from the water and began talking to the person I was there with. His name was Angel. I had just met him a couple weeks before. Returning from the sand, he and I both decided to sit at the white sculpture only about 20 feet away. It's a curvy structure with several arches, including one as a sort of doorway. Under the other arches were spaces to sit. There were a few little kids there, too. Watching them play became our form of entertainment. One of them ran towards us, jumped, and a few seconds later I heard the scrambling of feet above my head. There was another kid trying again and again to walk, not climb, the side of one of the arches. You know, I used to do things like that when I was little, Angel said. His eyes were so animated, I almost felt that if I looked into them hard enough, I could actually see the memory he was telling me. And it was like this for the next 4 hours. We were just friends when we got there, but as we walked away, we were holding hands. I'm not sure exactly what was so appealing about him. It was really just a feeling, I guess. The fact that we both felt it helped too. You know, I really feel a connection with you, he said to me another night at the lake, not long after. I smiled and said, I noticed that we're sitting on the beach. The sound of waves is all around us, and the moon is out. Oh, and my hair, it blew in the wind just now. Are you trying to be corny? It was in the crowded hallways at school that I first talked to him. He hardly turned to face me and he spoke slowly. He just looked really sleepy. His eyes were barely open, and it looked like he was struggling just to keep his lids from closing. Dude, are you stoned? I asked. He just smiled and nodded, and I left quietly. But actually, I was kind of worried about him. He told me that when he lived in Florida, he had done things like acid, cocaine, shrooms, cold medicines, alcohol, and marijuana. Those were all the reasons he was back in Chicago. To be good, he said. He told me how coming home high at all hours of the night had hurt his mom, and that he wanted to start over. And I thought, how many people say that they're willing to change? So of course I was all for it. And I always try to look out for my friends. But Angel wasn't just a friend, and he wasn't just a boyfriend either, meaning someone to bat your eyelashes at or someone whose hand you hold. We were close. We had a certain understanding of each other. Like when he'd mention his father the few times that he did, he never went into detail. He'd just go, oh, you know. And with a push of his head forward and a slightly raised eyebrow, I'd know exactly what he meant. We both had similar problems with our fathers when it came to their drinking and abuse. Having someone to share this kind of stuff with, this was my idea of a mature relationship. I'm not sure when things began to look down. It just became clear that the time I didn't spend with him, he was out drinking or smoking weed. But I thought, it's not so bad compared to what he used to do. I figured, coming off completely is hard, and this is probably how he's dealing. But I hated it when he was high. It always made me angry. And I let him know, too. As soon as those words came out, man, I'm so high, I'd snap back with a, yeah, you're so stupid. I constantly let him know how I felt. I would say, you know, I don't like the idea of having such a pothead boyfriend. People can't do these things all their life. Growing up will happen and you have to be ready for it. But I never set outright not to do certain things. I didn't want to become that stereotype of a nagging girlfriend. I already had to hear, man, my girlfriend's trying to change me, I swear, from some of my guy friends. I didn't want to be that way. I didn't want to seem controlling. As time went on, he just spent more and more of his days high or drunk. We didn't talk as much because he'd always be too sleepy, or he'd be saying how messed up he was. If only he were sober, I'd think. At least then we could have our conversations. The ones about our past, our families, even the corny ones. He'd always tell me he'd stop, but he just didn't. I had been struggling with the idea of walking away, but the image of him as a complete druggie kept me holding on. I didn't want that image to become a reality. When I looked at his eyes now, his pupils were enlarged. To me, they looked like holes someone punched into his irises. It hurt me more than anything to see him like that. I mean, sure, I know people that went through the same thing, even my own mother and many of my friends, but I had never dated any of them. It almost felt like I was playing tug of war, me at one end, his drug problem at the other, and the prize was my boyfriend. Usually, I'd have dropped the rope by then and walked away, which is exactly what the people who had been through this told me to do, but I didn't want to. I was determined to make things right. By that, I mean getting him to stay away from drugs. I wanted him to realize what he was doing. I wanted him to be at the other end of the rope. I remember him coming up to me one day in the school hallway, just a few weeks before we broke up. I knew there was something wrong with him. "Are you high?" I asked him, just like that first day we met. He smiled and nodded, but this time, I didn't laugh. Eventually, we completely stopped talking. I realized one day, as he walked straight past me, that I had very little say in this. His head was lowered. My eyes simply followed him until he was out of sight. Standing there, I felt like I had lost a lot of ground. I wasn't his girlfriend anymore, and therefore couldn't say much about what he was doing. I only wrote one letter telling him that the end of our relationship didn't mean that I stopped caring. I told him that I didn't like who he was now, because he surely wasn't the same person I sat at the lake with a few months earlier.
So here I am at the lake. It's still winter, it's not summer anymore. I can still feel the cold air, and I remembered that I have to ride the train to get home. So I'm gonna get going. I can see the white structure, but I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at the pavement just beyond it.